What are the goals for Tennessee's defense in 2022, and what's it going to take to achieve those goals? Tennessee's defense has got to take a big step, considering where it left off last season. Tim Banks, Tennessee defensive coordinator, set to join us here on Locked On Vols Thursday show.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Thursday, everybody, and welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols. So glad that you guys are making Locked On Vols your first listen, your first watch right here on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Google Play, wherever, and of course it's on YouTube. I'm your host, Eric Kane. You can find this podcast and find me on Twitter at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols, and we have a fun show to get into today. Another two-parter with the Tennessee coordinator. This time it's defense. Tennessee defensive coordinator Tim Banks. We're going to get right into that interview right now. We'll talk with Tim Banks here in segment one. We'll finish up with Tim in segment two. And then, fittingly enough, we start our starter spotlight series on defense today. And we will check in with Byron Young. All that coming up here on a Thursday show. Without further ado, Tennessee defensive coordinator Tim Banks. This offseason, entering year number two, spring practice, and then coming into this phase of the offseason, you know, strength and conditioning. Now, how is the mindset of your defense? Took a lot of strides in year number one, but, you know, how was it going into this next step here at Tennessee?
Yeah, so far so good. You know, the guys are working really hard. You know, I felt really good about the spring we had. You know, obviously they're working really hard conditioning right now. And, you know, obviously we got some newcomers there. So, you know, so far so good. You know how it is. You know, we don't, you know, obviously last year was last year. You know, we're really trying to lay a foundation, you know, coming out of spring and obviously, you know, this summer, you know, to try to, you know, obviously, you know, put the best brand of football out there we possibly can. So I know the guys are genuinely excited about it, you know, particularly returning guys. And obviously, like I said, got a couple freshmen out there that I hear good things about. So it's a good time.
Kind of working from the front back in your defense, you did have to say goodbye to three contributors last season that played a whole lot of snaps for you, but you returned two guys on the outside and Byron Young and Tyler Barron that have a lot of experience. What are they going to mean for you guys up front to try to live on that side of the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, they're going to obviously play important roles for us, you know, starting with BY. You know, obviously we thought, you know, he started to play his best, you know, brand of football toward the middle to the end of the season. So, we thought he really finished on a good note. You know, as you look at his body, you can see, you know, how it's continuing to mature. You know, he's put on good, healthy weight. I think the game has started to slow down for him. So, you know, we're definitely anticipating a great year from him. Then you go to Tyler. You know, Tyler obviously battled through some injuries, things of that nature. But, you know, I thought he had a really good spring. You know, when you look at his body, you can see how it's changed. He looks a lot stronger. You know, he's definitely comfortable in the system. So we're obviously going to need those guys along with the rest of the guys to play well. But, you know, anytime you got some veteran guys returning, you know, that are as talented as those guys are, you know, you're definitely expecting big things.
You know, inside a guy that's been here, it feels like 5 or 6 years is Craig Garland, but Amari Thomas, he's, you know, heard great things about him this offseason stepping up and becoming a leader, and Elijah Simmons and some new faces like Tyree West and, of course, Jordan Phillips. What's that inside group going to look like, Deshaun Terry? And is it going to be a strength in numbers type situation? I would assume you guys want to play a lot of guys up front.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head. You know, I think it'll be, you know, strength in numbers. You know, we feel like we have some really talented guys in there who, again, have played some significant reps for us. And hopefully we'll have a chance to be able to, you know, to a degree, you know, roll those guys. So it's an exciting time. You know, I think, you know, everywhere I've been, you know, the better you are up front, you know, which is cliche as it sounds, you know, the better the defense is. And we definitely got a lot of pieces back. And, you know, we're hoping that, you know, with that experience, you know, they'll continue to take some strides and, you know, we'll be able to play a bunch of guys at those spots.
Looking at the linebacker position, I mean, this was a group last year, obviously, that not a whole lot of depth and primarily played three guys once Juwan Mitchell was out with injury. But does it feel like that spot in the defense, you feel a whole lot better about it this time, you know, now than you did back in the season? Because I feel like you do have more options to where you hope to play some more guys as well.
Yeah, we definitely have more options. You know, obviously, you don't have a ton of experience in that room outside of the guys that did play. But again, I think we've got more guys at every spot, quite honestly, you know, whether it's DBs, whether it's D-line, linebackers, et cetera. So anytime you have numbers, you know, the expectation is that, you know, you get what you earn, you know. So I know it'll be a lot of guys fighting for playing time, which in turn helps us play better as a defense. So, but yeah, you know, right now going into the summer, you know, obviously we have some guys who signed early, you know, Elijah comes to mind, who we thought, you know, as a freshman had a really good, you know, spring campaign. You know, he'll be better than he was coming out of spring. And then obviously with the returning guys that have played from Beasley to Banks, and even having Mitchell back and, you know, having Pack and Paige back, you know, we feel like we have some numbers and we have some experienced guys, you know, and with those young guys, we think those guys are going to push really hard to try to earn some playing time.
Jeremy Banks took a huge step last season. Obviously an eraser there at the second level, made a whole lot of impactful plays. A tackle machine. You know, how can he get better now as a redshirt senior?
Yeah, I think, you know, just continue to play with the passion and the energy that he played with, but now just refining his game, you know, from some of the small details where, you know, maybe he might have missed a read or a key, but he was just athletic enough to be able to still make the play. Now he'll be able to make that play instead of, you know, for a 2-yard game. Hopefully he'll be able to hit it in the backfield. So I know he's worked really hard, you know, at, you know, his key read, continuing to grow there and continuing to make sure that he's in the right positions and from a pass coverage perspective. But, you know, what you said earlier is exactly right. You know, he grew leaps and bounds last year, and we expect him to take another jump this year as well.
Look at a young guy I want to ask you about, and Elijah Herring. I know he didn't get a whole lot of, you know, just been here since the spring, obviously, and it was probably going, you know, really fast for him. But how was he kind of settled in, and what do you like about his game that where he can maybe help you out this year? And obviously, you know, the plan is to help you out a lot down the line.
Yeah, we love his size, you know, and we love his mentality. You know, he's a guy who's never satisfied. You know, he's one of those guys you have to kick out the weight room, you know, kick off the field because, you know, he just wants to be good. You know, that just starts with his upbringing and, you know, how he was raised and how important football is to him. But then the next thing that you think about to me is just his size. You know, he's a big, strong, strapping linebacker, you know, who still has some athleticism. So, you know, again, he wasn't ready coming out of spring, you know, but I think as he continues to work at it, you know, we think the sky's the limit with him. And it won't surprise me if he's fighting, you know, for some playing time this year.
Yeah, I replaced a couple of guys in the back end. Of course, Theo Jackson, who was so big for you guys last season. Alante Taylor, who was a second-round draft pick. Those guys are not going to be easy to replace. But when you look at the secondary, I know there's a lot of questions right now, but I think two guys you point towards to step up in leadership roles and hopefully on the field this year are two experienced safeties in Jalen McCullough and, of course, Trayvon Flowers.
Yeah, obviously both those guys played significant roles last year in our defense, and they're both back. You know, we're expecting both of those guys to continue to grow, you know, not just, you know, on the field, but just with their leadership skills. And quite honest, they did a tremendous job this spring. You know, Tank was very vocal. You know, he's always been a hard worker, but I think he feels now that, you know, he can, you know, be a lot more vocal in terms of leading. And, you know, I think Flowers has made some strides as well. So, you know, they're great kids. You know, they're kids who want to do well. You know, and now obviously stepping into that leadership position, I think they're a lot more comfortable with it, and we expect those guys to do it.
A younger guy that, you know, was playing a little bit special teams, of course, then unfortunately suffered a bit of an injury that kept him out last season, but a guy that's got a really high ceiling, Christian Charles, you know, safety, played a little cornerback this spring. You move him around an awful lot. Is that kind of the role you might envision for him, and kind of what is – his skill set kind of bring to the table? Because I think he's a guy that Tennessee fans are really excited to see, you know, here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, he gives us a great deal of flexibility. You know, a lot of it depend on how some other guys come along, you know, whether we're playing him at safety or playing him at corner. We just think that, you know, he's a kid who's smart, you know, runs well, you know, has some physical traits in terms of physicality, you know, on the hash and obviously at the corner position. So, you know, we won't decide exactly where he is, to be honest, and, you know, until we come out of camp. But, you know, the fact that he took, you know, some significant snaps, you know, at corner during the spring, obviously played a great role on our special teams last season and played some snaps at safety. So, you know, he's just one of those kids that it's going to be hard to keep him off the field, whether he's at corner, whether he's at safety, just because of his work ethic, you know, how smart he is and the physical style in which he plays with.
That is part one of my conversation with Tennessee defensive coordinator Tim Banks. Looking forward to concluding with him on the other side. And
continuing on asking him all these questions about Tennessee position players and all that. Pretty good so far. Looking forward to hearing what else he has in store. But first, rockauto.com. The ever-increasing makes of models, it's now impossible for your local chain of auto parts store to stock up on all the parts that you may need. So why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders parts on their computer, choosing only the brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com in the palm of your finger or in the palm of your hand and in your pocket with your cell phone, right? So save time and money when using rockauto.com. So why choose to spend up to 30 to 50, sometimes even 100% more for the same parts of from the chain store or car dealership that you can get for much cheaper at rockauto.com. It's a family-owned business serving it to professionals and do-it-yourselfers online for 20 years. The prices are always so reliably low at rockauto.com. They have every part you can, they have everything you possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps to motor oils, even new carpets. So go explore their easy-to-use website today and find out the solution to all of your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit my friends at rockauto.com. Two guys that came in last season that were kind of newcomers, and they both dealt with their fair share of injuries. But I think, you know, if healthy, could be a vital role for you guys in the secondary. Kamal Haddon and then Brandon Turnage, especially with Turnage, a guy that can play a couple different spots. Yeah, how unique is it to have those type of skill sets and those two guys as more options back there for guys that you can rely on?
Yeah, super excited to have both those guys back. You know, Turnage obviously, you know, stepped in and helped us in a big way last season. And, you know, we're expecting him to take some more strides this year as well. Kamal, you know, played some significant snaps in multiple games. And, you know, obviously he'll be better for it as well. So, you know, again, I know I sound like a broken record, but the fact that we have so much depth right now, or better depth, I should say, I think it's going to be a real heated competition in the back end, you know, for significant. Anytime we have competition, it only makes us better. And, you know, we really want to make some strides back there. And we think we have some guys in place to make that happen.
Now, there's a lot of guys that will be competing for just a couple of spots. And so we're all intrigued to see how that kind of plays out for sure come fall camp. Took a lot of strides as a unit last year, you know, set a program record, it looked like, for having over 100 TFLs and did a lot of great things. And I know the answer to this is you can get better in a number of different areas, but what are some areas that you guys are really pushing towards to take leaps and bounds here from year one to year two as a unit defensively?
Yeah, you know, getting off the field more consistently, you know, obviously, you know, tackles for losses and things of that nature, and the mayhem is awesome, you know, but being able to, you know, win third downs more consistently, you know, it's something that we've worked really hard on in the spring, and we'll continue to work hard on it, you know, in the fall. But as I stated earlier, you know, every year is a new year, you know, how guys, you know, slide into new roles, new leadership roles, you know, new positions to a degree, you know, it's a different year. So, you know, we always start from scratch, you know, and build it, you know, but if we had to point at one thing in particular, you know, coming out of last season, you know, we have to be able to affect the quarterback better on third and long situations. And like I said, we feel like we've addressed it in the spring, and we'll continue to address it in the fall, and, you know, we'll see where we go.
Johnny, with Tennessee defensive coordinator Tim Banks, and just a couple more and we'll get you out of here. As a secondary coach, I know this will sound as a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How important is it to get a consistent pass rush with your front four without having to bring guys from the second or the third layer? I would feel like it would help out immensely. And do you think as a unit, you guys are close up there to getting that more consistently?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it all works hand in hand, you know, to be quite honest with you. I know it's cliche to say, you know, the front, you know, obviously the better they play, the better the back end is. Well, you know, obviously the longer you can stay in coverage, the better it is for the front. So I think those all go hand in hand. You know, we got to continue to play tight coverage on the back end, and we got to continue to get to the quarterback, you know, in a timely manner. So I think both of those things go hand in hand. You know, can we get there with four? You know, we're working very hard to be able to do that. I think it obviously gives you some flexibility on the back end from a coverage perspective, you know, whether it's man, you know, hot zones, you know, you name it, you know, when you don't have to spin and bring five, you know, six guys, it just gives you the ability to do different things on the back end, which hopefully, you know, can confuse the quarterback even more and give those guys a chance to win. So But will we be better at it? I like to think we will be. You know, I think those guys have, you know, worked really hard during the spring, and they're continuing to work hard this summer. But as I stated earlier, you know, we've worked very hard to play tighter coverage and, you know, give those guys some more opportunities to get home.
You and Willie Martinez go way back. In fact, he was one time your position coach, and now you guys work together in that secondary. What's it been like working with him? And I know you guys have kept a close relationship throughout your coaching career, but what's it like being with him every single day and still watching and learning from him?
Yeah, it's been awesome. You know, Coach Martinez has obviously, you know, been coaching a long time, you know, has done it at a high level everywhere he's been. So he hasn't changed, you know, except maybe some of the gray hair, you know, that he had. You know, very intense, you know, very knowledgeable. You know, I tell recruits this all the time, you know, it's not for me. You know, a lot of coaches talk about treating them like your son and loving on them and all those things when they get on campus. Well, I was able to experience that firsthand. You know, him and his wife, Miss Kim, you know, were nothing but great to me and my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife now. And, you know, everything he says is very authentic. You know, he's very passionate about the game of football and he's passionate about kids in general. So I had a chance to live it, you know. So for me, when I'm, you know, talking about UT and our coaching staff, it's not something I think, you know, in particular when you're dealing with Coach Martinez, it's something that I live. So, yeah, he's a wonderful coach. You know, we have a tremendous defensive staff here, a tremendous staff, to be quite honest with you, on both sides of the ball. But obviously having a guy that I considered a mentor growing up in the profession and now having a chance to work alongside of him, you know, has been awesome for me.
And then finally, last thing I got for you, man, what's it like coaching with Coach Heupel and kind of being, you know, his defensive coordinator in his program? What do you like in terms of the direction and his leadership? And kind of what's it like being on the other side of Heupel in those practice settings?
Yeah, it's been awesome. You know, Coach is a football guy. You know, he loves ball. You know, he's cut his teeth on that side of the ball on offense. And, you know, they definitely give us some challenging looks and challenging attack. They try to attack us in some different multiple ways, I should say. And so it really makes us better. You know, you talk about iron sharpening iron every day, you know, just what we get to see from that offense, you know, between him and Coach Golis and the scheme in which they try to attack, you know, really helps us obviously moving forward on Saturdays. But, you know, obviously I didn't know Coach Hype as a man. But he has not disappointed. You know, he definitely loves the kids. You know, he's a tremendous leader. You know, he's not one of those guys who believe he invented football. You know, he's very down to earth. He's very genuine in everything he does. And, you know, for me, you know, life is way too short. You know, I've done this for a long time. And, you know, you want to come to work with people that, you know, you obviously respect, you know, and people that truly, you know, have the vision similar to you. And that's what I feel with Coach Hype. You know, he has a great vision, you know, a vision of us playing hard, being tough, being smart, you know, but loving these kids just as hard and enjoying what we do and having fun in the process. So it's been awesome. You know, it's been a good ride so far, you know, and definitely looking to go to battle with him again. You know, can't wait to get going.
SEC Media Days in just a couple of weeks, and then it's camp time, and it won't be long before Tennessee's kicking off, and it's football time in Tennessee. This is Tennessee defensive coordinator Tim Banks. Coach, thank you so much for your time, and I'd love to chat a little ball with you again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Appreciate you guys, and looking forward to teeing this thing up. Thank you.
Really, really, really awesome stuff there from Tennessee defensive coordinator Tim Banks. Can't thank him enough for stopping by and giving me 15 minutes of his time. I know it's a busy, busy time as they conclude everything before they head out of town for the next few weeks to get a little vacation in. And just like I said, then it's SEC Media Days, and then it's his full-fledged time to go, right, with the season, with fall camp and all that. So good stuff there from Tennessee defensive coordinator Tim Banks. Hope you guys enjoyed it here on Locked on Vols. BetOnline.net remains your number one source for all your sports betting and sports gambling information. Find all the latest sports developments, league news, including this year's NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sport wagering information as well, including live betting, esports, scores, and reality television. Remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, golf, and a whole lot of other stuff. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn about all the latest trends and all the action. BetOnline.net. It is where the game starts.
Just a couple minutes left here on this edition of Locked On Vols. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with me here today and electing to spend your time with us here on Locked On Vols. Really, really looking forward to hearing y'all's reaction to the Tim Banks interview. Love to know what you guys think about that. Really, really thought he was pretty good. Again, like I said earlier in the show, it's fitting because we have Tennessee's defensive coordinator on the show. Now we begin on defense for our starter spotlight. And let's go ahead and begin with Tennessee's best player, right? The most impactful player potentially, and the guy that could be the highest draft pick for Tennessee this time next year. It's Byron Young, or really I guess it would be a couple months ago, this time last year. But nonetheless, Byron Young, 6'3", about 243. I'd say he's about 250, maybe a little north of 250, and he really is. Actually, he's definitely above that. He's probably 255, probably pushing 260, if we're being completely honest about things. His story's incredible. I know a lot of you guys remember his story, but for those of you guys who don't or have forgotten, I'll give you a quick reminder. This is a guy that graduated high school, and I want to say it was 2017, and took a year off from high school altogether, or 2019, took a year off from high school altogether. Then he decided, hey, I want to get back into football. I want to play. Went to junior college, okay, and was not playing football. Saw a flyer. That's when he decided he wanted to get back in football. Tried out for his junior college football team, made it. And then his season got canceled for COVID. He was working at Circle K. There you go. They're pretty much extinct, right? Circle K's. And I wrote about this all a couple years ago. And then he comes in and Jeremy Pruitt signs him to that class of 2021. And ultimately, he gets to campus. He's on his way to campus and Jeremy Pruitt gets fired. So you talk about adversity hitting one individual and how he's overcome it. But I remember I called him whenever Pruitt got fired and I said, hey, are you still coming to Tennessee? He was like, I've been wanting to play football for so long. I'm not letting anything stop me. I'm on my way to campus. And so I'll never forget that, right? As a guy covering recruiting, I was like, wow, that's a man on a mission. And he got to Tennessee, and the excitement level was here as a guy that could, potentially affect the passer, coming off the edge. He put on 25 pounds pretty much immediately once he got here on campus. I think he went from like 215 and immediately shot up and put on some weight, and now he continues to do that. And then he had some more adversity when he was ruled not eligible, ineligible essentially for the first two games of last season, and then he finally got in the rotation. It took him finally a couple games after that to get his feet under him to what this level of football is all about. And then he balled out, right? I mean, it was a long road. He finally started to ball out there towards the end of the season, finishing his junior season with 46 tackles, 5.5 sacks, one interception, if you remember that came against Purdue in the Music City Bowl. Or came later in the season. Yeah, I think it was against Purdue in the Music City Bowl. He had 11.5 tackles for loss. Truly grew into being one of Tennessee's best players. And I think the sky is the limit for a Byron Young. And, like we talked about with Tim Banks, the ability to rush the quarterback with a four-man front really opens things up in the back end, allows them to play more in zone, allows them free them up so much where you're not having to bring a guy, a linebacker, or maybe even a guy in the secondary to tie them guys up in man coverage and cover one or cover zero. So, Byron Young is Tennessee's best pass rusher. Now, can he get a double-digit sack season? We'll see. I mean, he got 5.5 sacks in really when it boils down to it, in my opinion, playing a half season, right? Missed two games, took about 3 or 4 games to really get his feet under him, the speed and all that, and then from there on out, he was the Byron Young that we remember. Can he be a double-digit sack type guy? We'll have to see. I doubt it, but that's a whole lot of sacks. But let's see exactly what he can be. I think he's an absolute stud, and I think that he can anchor one side of that defensive line spot, that Leo spot, to where you're losing Matthew Butler on the inside, but you can rotate in a bunch of guys along with Amari Thomas kind of filling that gap. Tyler Barron might be a guy that might not play a whole lot of snaps because durability is an issue there, and we'll talk on him here in a couple of days. But you can build yourself some time to rotate in guys like that. But if you had someone stable on the other side like Byron Young, so I'm so excited to see Byron Young play. I think he, along with Jeremy Banks, two impactful players in terms of just skill, raw athletic ability. I'm excited to see what he looks like going up against some of the better offensive tackles around the SEC and around college football. And I'm excited to see what his
you know, his endpoint is, right? I mean, he's a guy that's getting a whole lot of preseason love. He continues to be a second or third team preseason All-SEC selection per all these outlets. I mean, the other one we spoke on just yesterday was AL.com, and he was the second team preseason All-Conference pick. There is a defensive lineman at Alabama by the name of Byron Young. Don't let that confuse you, because Tennessee has one as well. So it's really, really kind of funny in that regard. But I think this is a guy where his ceiling is, you know, his ceiling's an All-American type guy. But, you know, I expect him to be on the All-Conference team before it's all said and done. And I expect him to have a big year for Tennessee in that regard, because he's been here for over a year. He knows the system. He knows the expectations. He's continued to work on himself throughout this entire offseason, and he's comfortable. Nothing's new to him. Everything was new to him. Everything was new to him leading up to the season last year, in the season, the offseason, spring practice, weight room, all that was new to him. Nothing is new to him anymore. There's been no defensive coaching changes either. I mean, you got the same guys you're working with, Mike Eckler, Rodney Garner, and so on and so forth. So I'm intrigued to see how good he can be. But no matter what, in terms of talent, in terms of star power, in terms of what you want to be defensively, it starts up front, and it starts with a guy like Byron Young on the edge at the Leo position. He might not be Tennessee's most influential stat gatherer in terms of tackles. That'll likely be Jeremy Banks. But I expect him to lead the team in sacks, and I expect him to be an all-conference player this year, and we will see. If Tennessee wants to improve defensively, I think it starts with Byron Young, and I can't wait to see what happens with him this fall there. So how's that for a starter spotlight? Starting off hot. Save the best for last on offense, Hendon Hooker. I might have started with the best up front with Byron Young defensively here for that starter spotlight. But that's going to do it here for us on today's edition of Locked On Vols. We had a great show. We spoke with Tim Banks, Tennessee's defensive coordinator, and we began our defensive spotlight series with Byron Young. Guys, thank you so much as always. Go ahead and give Locked On SEC a listen and a watch today with Chris Gordy. Hey, he had on Hendon Hooker on, let's see, this was Wednesday's show. He had on Tennessee quarterback Hendon Hooker after Locked On Vols. When we're done here today, in just a couple minutes, go and search Locked On SEC. Give Chris Gordy's conversation with Hendon Hooker a listen today. That's Locked On SEC, your second listen behind Locked On Vols, which is your first listen each and every day. Guys, as always, thank you so much. Really, really do appreciate it. We will tie a bow on this week's shows. That's coming up on a Friday. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody.